Anybody here with a hurt, habit, or a hang-up? I just want to make sure I'm in the right place. Good. Psalms chapter 31, verse 23 and 24. Love the Lord, all of you who are His people, for the Lord protects those who are loyal to Him. So cheer up and take courage if you're depending on the Lord. The Alcoholic's Big Book, page 84, bottom paragraph. The alcoholic is like a tornado roaring through the lives of others. Sweet relationships are dead, affections have been uprooted, and selfish and inconsiderate habits have left the home in turmoil. My story begins just like everybody else's at the beginning in Portland, Oregon in 1958. I grew up in a middle-class home where Dad went to work, Mom stayed home, took care of the house, and myself and my sister. They never got divorced, we never moved, and I still live in the same house I grew up in today, taking care of the house and my father, who is now 90 years old. I started smoking cigarettes and drinking when I was 10 years old, and it all started very innocently. Kid, go get me a beer. Then it was, kid, go get me a beer. I grab one and run downstairs. This soon became something I did every single day. It started my many bad habits of lying, stealing, drinking, sneaking cigarettes and beer from my parents whenever I could get away with it. I started playing trumpet in third grade, and I went all the way through high school, and I was labeled a band geek. I was raised to always believe in God. My parents made sure of that. I went to Easter and Christmas services with my aunt and uncle. They were Catholic. And I also went to a church youth group for a while, never committing my life to God. It just wasn't cool. I was expelled from high school when I was a junior for smoking cigarettes on school grounds, and this is way back in 1975. I was quickly on my way to a life of trouble. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21 tells us, "And if you leave God's path and go astray, you will hear a voice behind you. No, this is the way. Walk here." I didn't listen. I was off running wild. I couldn't go back to school, so I had to find a job at age 16. They were pretty hard to find, not only because of my age, but everybody knew I was kicked out of high school. And this is when I also started to branch out, smoking marijuana, using drugs, along with my drinking. One weekend when my parents went out of town, they left me at home to take care of the house. They were hoping that I would keep it safe and clean. I didn't. I had a big party complete with a live band. Nothing got broke. Everything was put back in its place except my parents' trust. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. I was kicked out of the house and on my own at age 17. It was great. No rules, no food, no shelter. The fact was, I was really all alone. I started buying and selling marijuana to support my habits. I would buy it in Portland and sell it in Tillamook. It wasn't long before I was arrested in Tillamook. And they said, "How old are you, kid?" And I said, "Well, I'm 18 years old." "That's great." So they threw me right in Tillamook County Jail. Well, it didn't take them long to find out that I was a runaway at age 17. So they called my dad. My dad said, "I'll pick him up on Sunday." So he left me there all weekend. Everything was transferred to Multnomah County. I got 1 year of probation out of the deal. I was ordered to go live back home with my parents and get a job. Well, I didn't. I started running around with old school friends instead. We got really drunk one night, broke into Fred Meyer's sporting goods store. Yep, I was arrested again, only this time I was 18 years old. I was arrested and sentenced to 1 year in Rocky Butte Jail and 5 years of probation. Before I go much farther, though, I need to back up a minute. I was an 18-year-old who was a full-blown alcoholic. I'd already got 2 girls pregnant. The first one was from a church youth group. The second one was from my high school band. Where was I? Oh, yes, I remember. I was 18 years old in Rocky Butte Jail. I turned 19 in that jail, and it would be the first of many birthdays that I would spend in jail. Upon my release, I found a job at a local gas station, and as soon as I had money, I was right back drinking and using drugs again. It wasn't long before my tills were coming up short. I was showing up late for work, or I just wouldn't show up at all. As you can probably imagine, during this part of my life, God was the furthest thing from my mind. Well, this starts the next part of my life, the roaring 20s, and they were just that. I was a roaring alcoholic full of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. But it was finally legal for me to drink. The destruction of my life became more apparent, not only in my life, but to all those around me. I was 25 when my dad asked me if I wanted to go to work with him, part-time only, and I said, "You bet, I'd love to go to work with you." This is my dream job. I was going to be a beer truck driver in downtown Portland. Yep, an alcoholic driving a beer truck. That's like asking a fox to watch the hen house. Well, it was also when I first got my DUI coming home from the bar after work. A couple more failed jobs, and the trail of destruction started to grow. It was time for a new girlfriend, and she became my son's mother. We were only together for about 3 years, and it became really hard for her to put up with three young kids and a drunk for a boyfriend. So once again, I left more destruction behind me as I walked away from her and my son. My son hasn't talked to me since he was 13 years old. He's now in his 20s. When I left one woman, I go straight to another. The next woman I met became my wife. I was in my 30s by now, and I started working with my wife's brother as a painter. To become a journeyman, though, I had to go back to school, get my GED, and go to 3 years of classes at Clackamas Community College. And I did, and I got that journeyman's card in my back pocket. My marriage to my wife only lasted 7 years until she'd had enough of my lying, cheating, drinking. The list goes on and on. I managed to stay out of trouble for a while, but I was still a roaring alcoholic, an instant tornado just out of alcohol. Well, it didn't take long before, once again, I was in real trouble. That day started with tequila sunrises. The rest of the day is kind of a blur until that night. I drove from Hillsboro to southeast Portland to my ex-wife's house and shot her front door off with a shotgun. And it was just like you see on TV as I drove away. I was surrounded by police, guns drawn, ready to kill me. I sat in my truck, smoked a couple cigarettes, finished my bottle of tequila. I figured I got two ways out of this. I can jump out of this truck with a gun in my hand and die. Or I can just get out and do what they said. Well, I managed to stay alive that night only by the grace of God. I was arrested and sentenced to 5 years state penitentiary and 5 years of parole. They said I could do 5 years in the state penitentiary or do 13 months at the DOC boot camp. Let's see here. 5 years, 13 months. Yeah, I'll take the 13 months. Thanks. Well, I was 39 years old, completely out of shape. And that boot camp, boy, it took a toll on me. When I came out of boot camp, I was 40 years old. Yep, I was still spending birthdays in jail. When I came back, completed that program, I was back in Portland. I had a piece of paper in my hand that said I was done. I went straight to a bar, not for one drink. I closed that place. And yes, the wheels of insanity were spinning freely. Psalms chapter 40, verse 12. Problems far too big for me to solve are piled higher than my head. Meanwhile, my sins, too many to count, have all caught up with me, and I'm afraid to look up. I continued to do what I always did. I found a new girlfriend, only this time I moved to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. I was starting a new life, new state, no problems, no troubles. I even started going to church on Sundays. I even helped them out on church work day. I painted a couple of their classrooms. Once again, it didn't take long before the local police knew my name, knew my address, and they also knew I was a really bad drunk. I had two more DUIs back to back. I had a couple more run-ins with the law over domestic abuse and being drunk in public. Changing states didn't change a thing. I was a 48-year-old, full-blown alcoholic, drinking screwdrivers for breakfast, beer for lunch, and vodka for dinner. They handed me a one-way ticket back to Portland, and I was asked to leave Oklahoma. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Stop lying to each other, tell the truth, for we are all parts of each other. When we lie to each other, we are only hurting ourselves. So when I came back to Portland, I didn't have a place to stay, so I called my cousin, God rest his soul. I picked up right back where I left off, lying, stealing, drinking, found a new girlfriend, moved in with her, but she saw through me right away and kicked me out. This is where I became homeless. I was living out of my van. I'd lost everything except my clothes and a few hand tools for painting. One night when I was passed out sleeping in my van, somebody broke into my van, pointed a gun in my face, and demanded money and drugs. This guy was in worse shape than I was. He beat me with his fists and feet and ended up hitting me with a jack handle for about an hour and a half. I finally closed my eyes and he left me for dead. I managed to crawl to the driver's seat of my truck and drove to my parents' house, which thank God was only a few blocks away. My dad drove me to the hospital, Portland Adventist, but they couldn't fix me. So I was transferred to Emmanuel Hospital, where it took 3 plastic surgeons 2 hours to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. After that night, my dad said, "Well, you can park your van in the driveway, so you'll be safe." Well, I said, "Great, thanks." He didn't trust me to have a key to the house. He would lock the house up every night, so I couldn't get in there while they were sleeping. Being homeless, I was able to get food stamps and medical insurance. So I started seeing a doctor about my high blood pressure. My doctor's concern was about my drinking. It was 10 o'clock in the morning. She could smell alcohol. I told her right away, "I don't have a problem with drinking. I'm just here to get my high blood pressure meds." "Okay," she said. But she kept after me about my drinking, and I finally gave in. And I asked her for help. She got me into Cedar Hills Hospital in a couple of days. When I got to Cedar Hills, it was great. They kept me for 2 weeks, and they said, "You're fixed. Have a nice day." When I got out, I was physically okay, but mentally I was still really sick. It took me 3 weeks, and I was right back at the front door of Cedar Hills Hospital for round 2. This time, they kept me the whole 30 days. That's why they call them 30-day spin dries. The first thing that crossed my mind when I got out of Cedar Hills Hospital is, "Wow, I've been sober for 30 days. I need a drink." That night, I got my 4th DUI fresh out of Cedar Hills. This time, I lost my house. They towed my van away, and I was arrested and put into Washington County Jail. The cravings at this time in my life were all I could think about. When I got out of jail, I had no place to live, so I had to move back home. But I moved right back in the basement in my old room. It was during this time in my life when I lost my mother to her dementia. God had taken her home. She was finally free of her pain and confusion. She didn't have any more problems anymore, but my problem never left. She went to heaven. I went back drinking 24/7. My drinking had become much more than a problem. I had to drink so I wouldn't be sick. It was time for a new girlfriend, which came with more trouble, with the law. Anybody see a pattern here? Yeah. It was so obvious when I started putting pen to paper and started writing my first testimony. This time I was sentenced to 18 months at Columbia River Correctional Institution, CRCI. As I was sitting on my bunk one night, minding my own business, because I wasn't there to make friends or socialize, a gentleman came up and asked me if I wanted to go to an AA meeting. I said, "Yeah, I'll go." Sat in the back of the room, head down, "Please don't call on me, I'm just here to get my slip signed." Well, it didn't take me long. I was showing up early to help set up the chairs. I was staying late to help put the chairs away. I became secretary of the Thursday night meeting for the whole 10 months I was at Columbia River. Next gentleman came up and he said, "Hey, I'm going to a Celebrate Recovery meeting. You want to go?" And I said, "What's that?" He said, "I don't know." So I went. Come to find out, it was a step study meeting. When I went to that step study meeting, this guy said, "Well, I want you people to all commit to coming to 25 weeks of classes, and I want you to sign on the bottom line." And I said, "Man, I don't know. Commitment's never been one of my strong suits." Well, I signed on the bottom line, and that gentleman handed me this green and yellow workbook and said, "Hey, read the first chapter, do the questions at the end, and I'll see you next week." And I said, "Yeah, we'll see." I found out that this book had the same 12 steps as AA, but a little bit more to chew on. It was much easier to understand and apply to my own life. I've been working the 12 steps in AA before, but I never stopped drinking. I also found out about another CR meeting on Tuesday nights, and it was a regular CR. Start off with worship and either a teaching or a testimony, kind of like tonight. The first couple of step study meetings I went to, my answers were kind of short, one-word answers, yes, no, maybe. I still wasn't sure about the trust in the group, remembering that we were in prison. The first thing I noticed, though, is that the volunteers were always happy. There was something about them that I couldn't put my finger on. Our group started with about 20 people, and as we worked through the next couple of chapters, my answers got a little bit longer. I was using full sentences. The trust in the group started to grow, but the group started to shrink. Little did I know that God was already working in my life. He used each lesson in that book to open my eyes. Lesson 5, turn, is where I had to make up my mind to surrender all. It was time for all in or get out. In the past, in AA, this is where I'd pick up my books and leave. That week, I gave it all to God. I started with a third step prayer in my AA book. I used the Principle 3 prayer in my step study guide. When I got to lesson 9 and started my fourth step inventory, I think our group shanked to about 4 to 6 people, me included. The people who were left, though, were committed to change, being open and honest with each other. It took me a couple weeks to finish that inventory, and then it was on to the fifth step. Now, I'm in jail. Who can I share this stuff with? It was hard enough writing it all down. It took me a while to figure it out, but then it dawned on me. Ah, Chaplain Holbrook. That's who I'll say it to. So I made an appointment. That day, I went in to see him. He said, "So why are you here?" And I said, "Well, I'm here to share my fifth step, confess to God, to myself, and to another human being the exact nature of my wrongs." He goes, "Oh yeah, that's right. Have a seat." When I got done, hour and a half later, he stared at me dead in my eyes. And he asked me, "Have you ever had a relationship with anybody in your life where alcohol wasn't involved?" It only took me a second to answer that question. My response was no. I've been drinking all my life. I started drinking when I was 10 years old. Then it dawned on me, you might be an alcoholic. The next step study meeting I went to, I told Chris, the volunteer, that I'd shared my fifth step with Chaplain Holbrook, and he said, "Great," and he handed me my first Celebrate Recovery Bible. It's been a long time since I heard the word God in my life where it actually meant something. Every time I got finished with a lesson in that book, my life began to change. Little things at first, a smile or a passing, "Hi, how you doing?" Then I started praying each morning and each evening as it's suggested in the book. People aren't supposed to be happy in jail, but I sure was. The next couple of days after confessing to the chaplain, I felt kind of strange, almost like that warm, fuzzy feeling I used to get from alcohol. And I thought, man, that's not right. I've been in here a long time, and I'm sober. I couldn't figure out what it was, and then it dawned on me. It was God warming my heart from the inside out. And the next thing I realized is all my cravings of 47 years of being an alcoholic were gone. God had me facing in a new direction. He spun me around a full 360 degrees. Yeah, I know. People have told me, "Man, you only went 180. You'd be facing in the same old direction." No, he spun me all the way around. My old life was over, and all my cravings of 45 years of being an alcoholic were finally gone, all because I surrendered everything to God. God had other plans for me when I first got to Columbia River. He wanted me to focus on recovery, and he also seemed like it was my idea, but we know it wasn't. He used those two people to plant the seeds of recovery in my head. After about 6 months at Columbia River, God started opening doors for me. I ended up with a job in the maintenance shop as a painter. We painted the whole front of that jail and put a stripe around it to make it look pretty. During our regular Tuesday night meeting, when it was time to break off into small groups, everybody would leave except for about 8 or 10 of us. This part of the meeting got me used to focusing on my victories for the week. Yes, there were good things that happened in jail. When I finished my step study, I started to write my testimony. I believed it to be the next step in my healing. When I finished, I asked Paul, one of the volunteers of our CR on Tuesday nights, if I could read it to him. And he said, "Yep, I'll show up early next week." And he did. So I sat down and I read it to him, and he had tears in his eyes, and I thought, uh-oh, what did I do wrong? Something's not right. And he said, "No, that was perfect. You did a great job." So right before I left in October of 2014, I shared it with the guys at the Tuesday night meeting. It's probably one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. Yes, we all dressed the same, and we all had to be there, but it was still the hardest thing I've ever had to do. I also started going to another step study meeting just before I got out to make the guys feel more at ease with Kent and Chuck, the volunteers, and to let them know that this CR step study stuff really works if you put forth the effort to be open and honest. It's amazing how God has changed my life. It says in the AA Big Book on page 84, again, God was doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. That whole 10 months inside Columbia River, I attended 2 CR meetings a week, 3 AA meetings a week. Recovery was all I could think about. I got out of Columbia River in October of 2014, and I wouldn't change a thing. Before I got out, though, I was handed a list of all the Celebrate Recoveries in Oregon. So I knew exactly what CR I'd be going to. As is was the closest one to my house. That same night I got out, I called the gentleman on the list, and he said, "Yep, I'll meet you at the front door at 6:30. And he was right there as I walked through the door. I introduced myself. He took me by the hand and started introducing me around everybody in that place, and it was a big crowd. I was kind of nervous. I was really kind of in shock. As we talked, I told him I'd already went through a step study and I'd already written my testimony, and his response was, "Great, we're always looking for people to give testimonies." My response was, "Wait a minute. I just got out of jail. I got to get used to being back in public." I also called another CR in North Portland, Mount Olivet. One of the volunteers at Columbia River Tuesday night meeting went there. That CR was on Friday nights, and it was a little smaller, so I felt more at ease there. In November of 2014, I gave my testimony at Mount Olivet CR. 3 days later, I gave it at As Is Celebrate Recovery. When I got there that night, they said, "Hey, we want to film this. Is that okay?" And I went, "What? Why do you want to film me?" And he says, "Well, we're going to use it for later if we have to give a video testimony." And I said, "Yeah, go ahead. I ain't got nothing to hide." I also got back into my AA meetings, and I understood what the 12 steps really meant because of what I learned in the CR step study. Right after As Is Celebrate Recovery, 3 days later, I was right here where I'm standing now in November of 2014. Talk about a nervous night that was. Whoa. I walked into this place. There was more people in here than I'd ever seen. But I had nothing to hide, so we went for it. Then it dawned on me, you know, I could make copies of what they did it as is, and I could send it back into the jails. So I asked the gentleman who filmed it if he'd make a copy for me. He said, "Yeah, give me a thumb drive, and I'll fix you up." And I said, "What's a thumb drive?" Well, I went to Fred Meyer's and found out what a thumb drive was, and so I got copies of my first testimony that they filmed. I immediately made copies, sent them back into Columbia River, and sent them down to OSP. I made other copies, and I kept them just in case somebody wanted to use them in their Celebrate Recovery. I'm currently part of a great leadership team at As Is Celebrate Recovery, and also at Sunnyside Nazarene Celebrate Recovery, and also As Is Celebrate Recovery on Saturday nights. Yes, I'm doing three CRs a week. And our Monday night team, and our Saturday night team, and our Nazarene team, I believe, are the best in the world. And everything that I'm doing nowadays in the leadership team at all these Celebrate Recoveries is truly a blessing from God. I continue to do service work at CR, from greeting you at the door to making coffee to leading men's small groups. I think I'm on step study number 5 now. And yes, the 4th and the 5th step are still hard. Things from my past keep popping up along with all the new stuff. I'm still broken, but I have a new Savior to help put the pieces back together. I started also going to As Is Church on Sundays, got baptized there, Father's Day 2015. I continue to do service work at church every Sunday. It's amazing. Once I became open and honest with myself and others, life is so much easier. I start each day with prayer and meditation along with my morning devotional. The rest of the day just seems to flow. I have a sponsor. I have accountability partners along with real friends. Every day I wake up and my eyes open up, it's truly a blessing from God. I can go on and on about all the blessings that I have in my life today because of the personal relationship with the guy upstairs. From my job, to my church, to my CR, to my family, who had all but given up on me, to life in general. These things that used to throw me into a tailspin are just a chance to stop and pray and offer help. My life's not all wine and roses. It's iced tea, Mountain Dew, and daffodils. That's the way I like it. I finally graduated the School of Hard Knocks with a master's degree. That college cost me hundreds of thousands of dollars and didn't pay me a thing. I'm now enrolled in the College of Recovery. The tuition is free, and the knowledge and the education are endless. The more I learn, the more I can give back what was freely given to me. To the newcomer, I have but just a few things to say. Keep coming back. Don't quit before the miracle happens. If you have the ability to be open and honest and get involved, you will see and feel God change your life. Give this program an honest chance to work, and it will give you back your life. It's five things I'd like you to remember tonight. Trust in God's timing. Rely on His promises. Wait for His answers. Rejoice in His goodness and relax in His presence. In closing, Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. You are living a brand new kind of life that is continually learning more and more what is right and trying constantly to be more and more like Christ who created this new life within me. Since January of this year, January 7th, I celebrated 3 years of sobriety. But wait, there's more. On January 16th, I got off parole. And on February 28th, I was walking right back into Columbia River to give my testimony in person. About 2 weeks later, March 9th, I got a chance to go down to Oregon, Santiam Correctional Institution, and I gave my testimony again in person. Now, granted, I am not supposed to be able to walk through the doors of any prison in the state of Oregon for 3 years. I was barely off parole for 3 weeks, and God had busted open these doors, and I was running through. Because of this great program of Celebrate Recovery and these volunteers in this audience, because I can point them out, make them all stand up, but I won't. Celebrate Recovery has given me a new life. My dad said just the other day, he said, "You know what? I'm glad I lived to be 90 years old to see you sober." At that point, I started crying. Thanks.